Again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I wish you a very, very happy Christmas today. Today is the day that we remember that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, grew up in all parts, including Egypt, parts of the Middle East, and then he settled down in Bethlehem and Nazareth, and he grew up into being a young man and was tempted in every way that every young man is tempted. Yet Jesus was found to be without sin, and he went on to glorify God the Father. Well, now, I want to take you into the Gospel of Luke, and if you will just follow with me, chapter 2. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while he was there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all them that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I wonder if you can collect in your mind the scene of verse 11, Unto you is born a Saviour, Christ the Lord. Three phrases I just want to quickly bring in front of you. You see, when God gives, he gives wondrously. In verse 13, we discover, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Now, this is where the stars are. The skies knew all about Jesus coming. The stars were leading wise men to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and put terror into the heart of Herod the Tetrarch. Notice this verse 13, the skies knew when God gave, and the skies understood when God gave. Another instance is a terrifying instance, that when Jesus was crucified, there was darkness in the sky, there was darkness over all the land. The skies recognized what man was doing with the Son of the living God, and they were doing it with great alacrity. And it's a great shame that on earth, the people of the earth did not respond correctly to the glory of God that they trod underfoot at Calvary. Here is another thing. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, peace is a thing that we negotiate. We negotiate peace between countries so that we manage to avoid a war. We negotiate peace between couples so that we avoid a divorce. We negotiate peace. We think, because we can negotiate, that all peace is negotiable. But God is not a person with whom we can negotiate with. God said, I give peace. Listen to Jesus. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth peace, but my peace I give unto you. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life, and that brings peace. Whether it be that you're looking for political peace, as they were looking in the days when Jesus was crucified, and one of the reasons given for the crucifixion of Jesus and the betrayal by that awful person, Judas, is because he was seeking political peace and thought Jesus would lead them into it. Jesus will not lead you necessarily into political peace. Political peace may come because the peace of God has flooded your heart or flooded the heart of the leaders of the world or the country in which we live. But unless that happens, peace will betray us. It will avoid us. It will be hidden from us. And it will be an elusive, wishful piece of thinking. But peace is ours. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that cannot fade away. The peace of God that rejoices the soul, not the heart, not the outward things, but the deep, deep soul of a man. Peace. Listen to Jesus. He said, you know, if you get this peace that I give, no man can take it away from you. There have been Christians that have been terribly abused, tortured, burned at the stake. Christians that have been shot. Christians that have been ill-used, tortured beyond endurance. Christians that have lost their heads, literally, because of their love for the Lord Jesus. But the one thing their tormentors and executioners could not do was this. They could not remove the peace of God that passeth all understanding. They could not remove this peace. And so this brings glory to God. Now, the earth knew that Jesus came. And the earth has received the Lord Jesus as a body, dead, and the earth could not hold him because he was the Son of God and he rose from the dead and he was a mighty triumph for his foes. And nothing can hold Jesus. Notice, please, the skies knew that Jesus was the Son of God. The earth knows that Jesus is the Son of God. The psalmist puts it a different way. He says, if we didn't praise God, the trees would clap their hands and the stones would cry out. I was climbing in some mountains at one time and I was on a particularly rocky piece of ground and it was very strong and very difficult to climb. And as I was climbing up it, I thought, oh my, I had better praise God. For fear if these stones cry out, their very praise, the volume of it, would shake me and push me off the face of this rock. I know that's silly, but it was real to me at the moment. And I thought how enormous it was that the stones would cry out in praise and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we as human beings who are supposed to have all this reasoning power and colossal ability to comprehend and understand all sorts of hidden things, we need to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, and the simplicity of faith, believing in him, is more powerful than all the books of our learning could ever supply us. We need to understand the earth knew that Jesus was given. And then I would say to you, the poor people knew it. When John Baptist wanted to discover for sure and to make sure that his disciples understood that Jesus was the one whose shoe latchet he was not worthy to unloose, and he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, Are you he that shall come, or should we look for another? And Jesus said, go back and tell John, the gospel is preached to the poor. Now, poor people are underprivileged. They are robbed of learning. And especially in days that have gone by already, poor people have had great difficulty to gain sophisticated learning. Actually, they're better off, because the person that gets all the sophisticated learning thinks that he or she is better than the poor people. And Jesus said, no, one of the miracles of my coming is that I have come to the poor. The gospel is preached to the poor. How do I develop such a thought? Well, if you look at verse 8, you discover, and there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These were not poverty-stricken, but they weren't accomplished people from academia. They were not people that had much learning. And notice, please, that when the disciples stood up and preached the gospel of Jesus in Acts 1 and 2 and 3, you discover that people were observant and they said, these people, they don't have any learning. They don't have any book learning. They haven't been to college. They haven't written a thesis. They haven't reached that great place of enormous learning. Oh my, but they have been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Or have you excused yourself into all sorts of religious things, thinking that you know more than the poor? The person that lacks the academic learning of the day in which we live is reckoned to be a very poverty-stricken person. But Jesus doesn't recognize that. He says, these are the people for whom I came. These are the people for whom I've given my life. These are the people who can receive the gospel. The gospel. Can you receive the gospel? Now, not only did the poor know it, and the people that lacked understanding, but the people that were wise, wise men, knew about Jesus. In our day, it's not just the poor, it is also the wise men. It's some many years ago now, but I had a lot to do with SAC Air Force, one way and another, helping some of the fellows that were in distress in their families and so on, and also preaching in various installation chapels. And I went around preaching. I have letters from the Pentagon thanking me for what I did. So I'm not boasting. I'm simply making a statement here. But some of the people I met were these people that put together these amazing aircraft that could fly around the world, these colossal pieces of equipment that could do more than anybody could even imagine. Some of the fellows were working on different propulsion systems and all sorts of things. They were very wise. And I ended up in many of their homes, and they would ask pilots and navigators and their families to come and hear the gospel as I presented it in a very impoverished manner, for I'm not a clever person, but I was able to present to the wise men of that day. It interests me that over the years, it has been my honor and privilege to preach in places to people in high authority. When a man exercises his gifts, as Proverbs, it brings him before kings. If you watch Billy Graham, how God has blessed this world with that one man, and how he spoke to kings and queens, the prince and queen of England, for instance. He spoke to the royal family. He had tea with the royal family. He had time with them and presented the gospel to them. Some of them were right with the Lord Jesus as a result. Wise men. And then leaders know it. Now, here's a curious thing, that God reveals himself to leaders whether they be right or wrong. Herod was an extraordinarily vicious man and was not at all right. He was a man that was very unpleasant. He did things that were wrong. He was unkind. He was a man that had a fierce anger, a fierce distrust and dislike for the Jewish nation. And he tried to play the politics of wooing Rome and the leaders of Rome. Titus, at the time, he was trying to woo into his council. And before that, I believe it was Gaius Caesar, he tried to woo him into his inner circle. And he was always making up to the leaders. Now, this man, when the wise men came and made inquiry, where shall this child be born? This man knew that Jesus, the Messiah, was born. So not only do the stars know it, not only does the earth know it, and the poor know it, and the wise know it, but the leaders know it. If you go into the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and you read in verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, who were very likely astrologers, from the east came to Jerusalem and asking, where is he that is born king of the Jews? There was the competition. There was the scare. And old Herod wanted to know where this kid was, where this child was, and he wanted to be sure to go there because he wanted to kill him. When he couldn't kill him, he killed all the children under 2 years old. Jesus was born in a time of depravity, and this leader was vicious. Now, let me liken this to the leadership of this world. We have had our Caesars and we've had our Genghis Khans, and we have had our Hitlers, and we've had different leaders in our country here, America, and we've had kings that were completely wrong in England, and so on and on it goes. All the world, all these leaders knew that Jesus Christ, and they know the present leadership, know that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son and is alive. It's curious, isn't it, how people will ignore the facts. But here in the third verse of Luke 2, we read, all went to be taxed in his own city. That ought to ring a great big bell. We're being taxed for all sorts of things. And we're being taxed and we don't know we're being taxed. Our taxes are being spent and we don't know where, until later on when somebody owns up that he stole the money or gave the money to some terrorist the other side of the world. But we give the taxes because we're obedient and because we follow the Christian ethic of obeying those in authority that are over us. Seems to me our leaders know about Jesus. And although they bring horrendous things to come to pass upon us in the declaration of wars and so on, or the lack of declaration but performing wars, we find ourselves in a time when our leaders know about Jesus. They know about the living God and don't understand or won't accept that they are mere puppets on a string and God is working his plan out for the world through them. And through their foolishness, oh, if they would turn to the Lord. Oh, if this country would turn back to God, what a difference it would make in the rest of the history of this country and the whole world. I would have you realize, and I would say to you, that the young knew about the coming of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, we discover that Jesus was born and Herod the king knew. The astrologers went to him, talked to him, and we know that the scriptures were fulfilled. We know that the territories where Jesus was were shaken because of the viciousness of Herod. The voice of Ramah was wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel, who is symbolic of the women of Israel, Rachel, weeping for her children, she refused to be comforted because they were no more. When Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Arise tenderly, take unto you the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those that sought the child's life are dead." Notice how God protects. Talking to a man who was at Pearl Harbor and in the Navy of the United States, a man who served this country for the rest of the war in the Pacific. Talking to him, I said one day, "Have you ever thought about the times that God protected you and you didn't know it at the moment, but a few minutes later or hours later or days or weeks or months or years later, you realized that God had put his hand over you and you were protected? You were sort of hidden in the cleft of a rock." And he paused for a moment in his story of his experiences in the Pacific. He looked me in the eye and great tears welled up in his eyes. And the tears cascaded down his cheeks and tumbled off. And he said, Oh, yes. You see, young people, even young people who are massacred, who are killed. I think of the Holocaust and how terrible it was, how awful it seemed to be. All those dear, darling children of Israel, little ones, little boys, little girls, little children were taken and gassed and thrown in mass graves with parents that were already gone. Children who were put out for experimentation of various surgeries. I think of those darling little ones who suffered so much. Oh, I've met many of them in the years that have gone past. And I met many of them just at the end of the war as a teenager. I remember watching them get out of the trains in London. What a ragtag group of people they were. I remember watching, and the tears were choking even my young throat at the time. The terrible tragedy of the suffering of these people. Recently, I found myself in prayer after an explosion had taken place and people and children were killed in Jerusalem. And I was crying out to the Lord, "Haven't they suffered enough yet? Please, Lord, please." Yet the young know that Jesus has been born. Jesus has been there. And the young have sealed that knowledge with their blood. The massacre of all these children in Israel and Ramah and Rachel not being able to control her sadness. People have said, why do they keep on about the Holocaust? Because they're still weeping. Because there is still a weeping. And there will be a weeping until people receive the comfort and presence of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, in whom is life eternal. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful peace. The old knew it as well. Let me take you for a moment into Luke and chapter 2 and over the page into 25 and 36. And in 25 we read, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Look at verse 36. "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with her husband for 7 years, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Jesus to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." The old people know this. So we have the skies, the earth, the poor, the wise, the leaders, and the young and the old people, and they all know that Jesus is the one we celebrate at Christmas. And I wish you this day, this very wonderful Christmas Day. Happy Christmas! Happy time of remembering Jesus Christ is God's only Son sent into the world to give us eternal life. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? He wrapped eternal life in a baby. What a wrapping. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to all these people on Christmas Day, and that you will flood our hearts, all our hearts, with the joy of Jesus. What a package, what a gift, what a privilege to know the Son of God loves us with everlasting love. Bless us now, we beseech you, in his name, amen. Hey, happy Christmas. God be with you. Bye-bye.